welcome to Parenting Q&A, episode 4. I am Debbie, and I'm here with Anne-Marie.
Hello.
And we are here to ask a different question today. This is episode 4 of our foundation series. This is our last one. After these first 4, we will be going a little more niche and practical and be answering a question still every episode, hence the Q&A. But things will just kind of narrow down a little bit. But this first series is intentionally kind of broader because we're looking at a philosophy of parenting and the things that influence our parenting. And so we would suggest that you go and listen to the previous 3 episodes in this series. If you have not already done that, we would suggest you do that because they build on each other, these first 4. After this series, you will be able to more pick and choose some that pertain more to you and where you are at in your parenting journey. And you'll be able to do that as you need. We'll put out a series over a particular topic, but then each episode will answer a question under that topic, and you can kind of pick the questions you want to listen to or listen to them all. We would not deny you exactly that. If you decide that you want to just listen to all of our podcasts, you're welcome to do that, obviously, as well. Anyway, so today the question in our last episode, of the foundational series, the question we're asking is, what influences my parenting? As parents, so you're going to ask yourself, what influences my parenting? And we kind of want to go do a little brief recap of our first 3 to shape our values in our parenting and our philosophy of parenting as we ask this question. So Anne-Marie, what are kind of the quick things that we've covered in the other 3 that we're saying are foundational as we ask this question?
So one of the episodes we talked about the difference between ownership and ambassador parenting. Ownership says they belong to me, and the ambassador says that I am a reflection of Christ to my child, and they don't belong to me, they belong to him. So that kind of decides who gets to make the decisions as to what and how we parent, whether I'm the owner or God's the owner. The second one we talked about some discipline and how parenting is more than just behavior modification. So the way we think of discipline influences our parenting. We also need to remember that God has given us parenting as a calling. It is a job that he's given, and because of that, we need to take that job seriously in a way that we reflect him well in the way that we handle our parenting, but also it means we have to do some intentionality in the way we parent. Family of origin can play a lot in how we parent, and also our humility. How much are we willing to allow God to change us and grow us in the process of parenting? So those are some of the ones we've already talked about. So in this episode, we're going to talk about some more things that influence our parenting.
Yes. And moving forward, it's important to remember all those things that we talked about in episodes 1 through 3. We just want us all to remember we're not paralyzed in our parenting. We're not stuck where we are. Either if you feel like, hey, I'm killing it in this parenting thing right now, I want to keep doing what I'm doing, great. There's still room to grow always because we're imperfect people. As we've said before, married to imperfect people, parenting imperfect people. So there's always room to grow and to change. But even if your family of origin story is hard and difficult and gave you kind of some reactive type styles of parenting that you would rather change, you're not stuck in that. By God's grace, we are able to make changes ourselves and impact our kids. So the other important thing that we have to remember that we've talked about a lot on here so far is the modeling aspect. We want our values to show up in our parenting, not just in what we say to our kids, but how we respond, how we act to our children and other people around us, because they're watching us always. So as we kind of go over now and we continue into this episode, we're going to cover a few points. And the first thing we're going to talk about is how do the things I claim to care about and love show up in my parenting style and how I parent my kids? So we want our values to show up in what we're modeling to our kids. So if we would rather our child not yell at us when they're upset, what does that mean for us? It means we probably ought not to be modeling yelling when we are upset. It's some of those changes that may be hard to make, but they're important, and they're really important distinctions. And those are going to be some of the pressure points that we talk about moving forward, is the modeling piece. And I think, Anne-Marie, you have a book that you always recommend.
Well, from that. Recently I've been reading Trusting God by Jerry Bridges as part of my morning devotion time. And he gave this amazing illustration that I just have loved so much. And he's talking about the Cecropia moth. And it's like the largest moth in North America. But its process of changing from a caterpillar into a moth when it's trying to get out of its chrysalis, it looks very difficult. Like as it's doing and it's struggling and part of its legs come out. And as a viewer, you might be tempted to go in and kind of help it out, kind of let it out of that chrysalis. And as you're trying to do that, though, you would actually cause that moth to die because that process of pulling out of the chrysalis as they're pushing up against it, and it allows the blood to go to the parts of their wings and their wings will grow and get strong. And without that process, when they get out of their chrysalis, they can't fly.
They can't survive.
They can't survive. Mm-hmm. And he uses this illustration to talk about the fact that as we experience adversity in our life, and certainly parenting is full of those moments of adversity when our child, isn't doing what we want them to do and they're not behaving the way we want, we kind of want God to come in and to open up our chrysalis really fast. Like, just get me out of this situation, you know, pop me out of there. And what the truth is, as we grow to trust in God and our relationship with Him is growing, what we find out is that these moments, these struggles that we're having in our parenting are actually moments that God is using to show us and reveal in us what He wants to grow and change in us. Here's a really simple illustration on that. You know, my lovely, beautiful, wonderful, amazing granddaughter, Thea, is 3. And as any 3-year-old, she's like growing into that independence, you know, wanting to do things herself. And so one of her, you know, things that she likes to show her independence on is getting into the car seat. And it doesn't matter if we are going someplace that she wants to go. It doesn't matter if you know, she's happy about all who are going in the car. When it comes to the actual getting into the car seat, she wants to do it in her way and in her timing. And my kids are super great about trying different ways to try to make this a speedier process, you know, like
we want it quicker.
Yeah.
Let's move.
Yes. And as I've been watching and being one of the ones putting in her car seat, like it has hit me. God has revealed to me, oh, sometimes I have a patience issue because I want this to happen my speed, at my timing. I don't want to have to give her extra time or to get into the car seat and let her have independence. I want her to do it now. And so that's just one illustration about the fact that even though sometimes we want God to quickly come in and fix it, He is parenting us just as much as we are parenting our children. And that should be something that should give us great hope, because He did not choose us to be parents because we are able. He didn't look down at you and say, oh, you're such a great parent. You would be a great parent. I'm going to give you this child. He knows that we're imperfect, and that's the word grace. He wants to show us our imperfections, because a parent who understands their need for grace is much more likely to give grace to their own child. So
that's a huge point. I mean, that's a really big deal. So what can I do to change then, to allow myself to be more patient, to give more time so my child can work out of, like, the moth
right,
work and wrestle with the things that are harder, give her time to do that, because that's a good learning experience, right? And now we're talking, it doesn't mean that we allow necessarily stubbornness.
No.
It doesn't mean that we allow hard-headedness to go unresponded to in a kind way. But there are times we need to adjust.
Yes.
To allow our kids to learn and grow and experience adversity. That's not wrong.
And even though that, I think that when you think about this idea of our values, right? If we value our relationship with God, right, then we will spend time on that vertical alignment, because that means if I spend time on my vertical alignment with God, then it will reflect in my horizontal relationships with my children and with others, my spouse. And so it is important that we think about that, and we can tell whether we value it by whether or not it gets any of our time or attention.
That's right. Our time or attention. What are we spending time on? So then you've got the grace piece, and that leads to our next part we want to talk about, which is what I call the expectations game.
Okay, tell us about that.
So it's okay, obviously, we both think it's okay to have boundaries and rules. I mean, God laid out obedience as being an important thing for kids to do, to follow their parents. But we also understand that a lot of times we have expectations that are too high and they're unrealistic for our kids. And we haven't done the incremental training to get them to where we want them to be, because we just expect them to know or to do what we say all the time. And that can lead to a lot of frustration. It can lead to anger, to hurt, to bitterness, loss of communication, a loss of connection between us and our kiddos. Because one piece of scripture I think a lot of times that we forget about is Colossians 3:21 that says, fathers, do not embitter or exasperate your children. I think it specifically talks about fathers for a reason at that point, because I think it's something fathers struggle with more, because the lecture tends to happen more and the expectations just tend to be different from dads.
Well, because as a man, you really value respect. And
a lot.
So when your kids are acting in a way that's disrespectful, that can kind of be one of your triggers, right?
And a lot of times we view not meeting our expectations as a sign of disrespect.
Yes.
Expectations being rules we have, things we've laid out. We want to look a certain way, be a certain way. And when they're not that way, we take that as disobedience or disrespect, right? And so it is important to understand that God is saying it's not good to provoke your kids. It's not good to have these expectations that can embitter them and cause them, the rest of the verse pretty much says, cause them to lose encouragement. Like they become discouraged. But the verse before that does say, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. So there is an element of obedience that is important. So that's where we say we're not talking about permissive parenting here. We're talking about grace-filled discipleship that says that even though my child may not look and act and behave the way my original expectations laid out, instead of responding and reacting in a way that shows I'm upset because I feel disrespected, instead, I'm going to react in a way that doesn't put me first, doesn't have expectations and pride as my idol, but instead demonstrates grace. So that means that I'm going to discipline from that spot. And that's going to look different than if I discipline just because I feel disrespected. Right?
Yes, that makes sense.
So that is why I think the expectations game, sometimes it can be a bit of a game because we get in these power struggles with our kids. And we'll talk about that again in other episodes, the power struggle issue. But when we have high expectations, a lot of times if they're unrealistic, we get in these power struggles.
So we're expecting our kids to make too big of a jump from where they are to where we want them to get to, or where we think God wants them to get to. We don't take those opportunities to slowly give them practice and time and to really teach them through intentional act, you know, with our boundaries or intentional consequences or intentional training, teaching, discussions that we're having.
And I think when we make it about us, that tells you there's a game that's being played in your head. And it tells you I've made an idol of things like feeling respected, feeling pride in my kids, feeling success. I've made an idol of those things so that I respond emotionally when I don't get them.
So those are some of the traps then that go with that expectation game, is putting too much value on feeling respect, feeling that success. And
that was a good headway into the traps, Anne-Marie. Hey. Well done. putting value on those things is one of the traps that you can fall into.
Yes, for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that when we think about this vertical alignment and this thing about that model, that moth and pushing up against that chrysalis, we can trust that God is going to show us areas that we need to grow. You know, we're all familiar, or maybe most people are familiar with Psalm 23, the Good Shepherd, right? Mm-hmm. And when you read that, one of the things that really stuck out to me is that God is the one who initiates that. He is the shepherd. He is the one who's the one guiding us. He is the one leading us. And he just asks us to follow him. And so that when we learn to trust him more in our parenting, that means we will actually go to him more often with our needs, with the areas where we are feeling deficient, the areas where we feel like we're not being successful. And so one of the traps we can fall into is just ignoring those indicators that we need to grow. We make excuses for the reason why I'm yelling. If they had not done this, I would not have had to yell. We make excuses for the way that we control in the way that we try to parent them, and we're not looking at the fact that this is actually an area that God is trying to change and grow in us.
Yeah, us personally as parents. So the traps kind of that we're talking about are putting value on personally feeling respect, success, a reputation that we like, so we want our kids to model that or themselves. Those become idols in our hearts to such an extent that we respond emotionally to those. That's a trap. And then we ignore our own indicators of our own need to grow. And those two things kind of go together.
They do.
And at some point, there will be stress put on those values. And when the stress is put on those, you will see some things come out. We all do. Right. All of us. That we don't like. Right? So those two traps are important. And then I think the third trap is expecting something of our children that's unrealistic, or expecting something of our kids that we're not willing to do ourselves. I think those are traps that we fall into. So when we talk about who is influencing or what is influencing my parenting, I think about the sports fields we have. Baseball, softball, volleyball, courts, basketball, football. When you have parents along the sidelines responding in ways that they don't want their kids responding when their kids don't get their way. They would love to, when they talk about my philosophy of what I want my kids to look like, I think majority of us would say, I want them to respond with grace, maybe firmness. Yeah, hold the line. I don't want them yelling at adults. I don't want them yelling when they don't get their way. I don't want them looking like they're going to hit somebody on the sideline of a game. Because they're angry, or they don't like a call. Unfair. Or they think something's unfair. And yet we think it's okay in that context to model those behaviors, because it's a lot of times in some environments acceptable, socially and culturally acceptable. So I've let that environment influence what I think is okay.
Yes.
And instead of saying, all right, if my value of parenting is this, what we've laid out, if I'm an ambassador, that means there's not an environment where that's okay. Unless it's something like my kid's about to run in front of a speeding car.
Yeah.
And I'm yelling, stop. And, you know, it's something that distinctive. So I think those three things are the traps we fall into when it comes to what influences my parenting. Is the personal feelings I have, and I want the idols of my heart, the indicators, the lack of humility, the pride I have in my parenting, but then also just the cultural and the social, societal norms we've let in to influence when it's okay, maybe to model things that we usually would say is not right, is wrong for us or our kids to do.
So true.
Yeah. What about some tips then? We've talked about the traps.
Well,
what
I would always you recommend want to today? Give, you know, any new books or anything out there that might, if this is an area that you want to do some more deep digging in. One of the books that I've recently read is a book called Habits of the Household by Justin Early. And so he does a really good job of being honest about his own parenting failures, and kind of this came out of a result of some of his own areas where he realized that the way he was modeling was not what he really wanted. And so he wanted to make some changes. And so he came up with some of these different routines, and he talks about some great habits that you can have. So for instance, he talks about if you want to be intentional, he talks about family meal times and some things you can do at family meal times to build connection in your family. And so he gives some great example. If you're struggling with bedtime, he gives some great examples as to some routines you can do at bedtime to be more intentional about your relationship with God and with your kids to establish those more healthy bedtime routines. So thinking about if you are looking at those habits that you aren't liking, what are some new habits that you can make? And just remember that when you read any kind of new thing, we can't change everything at one time. So no matter what you're looking at, pick one thing and say, okay, this is one area that I can make a change in, and this is the one thing that I'm going to focus on. So he'll give you a whole bunch of different examples in this book, but just pick one of them and start to incorporate those into your family. So that's one great resource.
And I think you make a really good point, because it can be easy to get overwhelmed Some of us are overcritical of ourselves, and it could be easy to get overwhelmed with our critiques of ourselves and parenting.
I know when I was discussing this book with some moms at my Donuts with Director, they all said the same thing, that when they read it, they were like, oh, I want to do this, and I want to do this, and I want to do this. And then all of a sudden you just get that paralysis. You don't do anything because there's so many things that you think. And really, when you go and look at them, even though all these are great ideas, you're doing great things too. And so you don't have to throw out everything that you're doing just because you like this new idea, but really looking at those habits that you're not liking. What are the things? Are we not connecting as a family? Do we not spend time together talking and really having connection? Well, then that's a habit we want to work on. So how can we change that one habit? Or if bedtime routines always end up with me feeling upset and frustrated, and then that's something that I want to change, and I don't want to yell every night before I go to bed. So I'm going to focus on that one and not change every routine we have in our family.
So part of the tips of that is understanding that when I'm talking about the things that influence my parenting, one of the things I have to be careful of is there's going to be a lot coming at me.
Yes.
All the time. How do I kind of wade through that? And I think this is something, if you're married, this is something to do together with a spouse if possible. If you can talk about your philosophy of parenting and together say, these are certain things that probably we need to focus on right now. Pick one or two things that are something maybe we need to work on. Or individually, if there's something you need to work on. I need to work on my patience. Well, then focus on that particular thing right now. Because we've talked about this before, but it is about progress, not perfection. Perfection is not going to happen here on this side of heaven.
No,
it's just not.
Nope.
And so, but being paralyzed out of fear and anxiety and shame and guilt is not God-giving either. God wants life for you, and
yes,
he wants life for your kiddos, and he wants life for your family. But in, you know, the middle of all that, remember adversity, the moth discussion that Anne-Marie was talking about. So that's our other tip, is just remembering that part. There's grace in adversity, but the struggles that come from parenting are God's tools, like Anne-Marie discussed, and you can change and your child can change, and you will not stay the same.
We have a tendency to be like, I can't wait till this stage ends. Like, I can't wait till they're not, in the terrible twos, or
so I'm done potty training.
Right. Or I'm worried about, not the teenage years. Ugh, how long does that have to be?
Yes.
And we just want to get out of those things, but just kind of change your mindset about that. Think of yourself as that moth and that chrysalis. You don't want God just to come in and snip it out. You actually do want him, because to grow you and change you, that is part of your sanctification process. So don't, so kind of changing our mindset to think of every adversity as being terrible, but instead looking at them as opportunities of change.
That's right. Opportunities of change are important. And along with that, our next tip is review your expectations. Kind of just do a quick little look-see. Am I asking too much of my kids? Have I forgotten steps along the way? These incremental kind of training methods. Do I expect my child to put themselves in the car seat in, 30 seconds flat when I've only shown them one time and they've practiced twice, versus allowing that practice to happen over time, multiple weeks? There is an understanding that as you're growing as a child, we as an adult know that when we take on a new skill, it takes us time. Children are receiving constant new skills all the time, every second of every day. It's really a miracle how they take that in with their brains, right? How little people and humans respond, how God made them to do that. And so we just have to remember that expectations need to be age appropriate. They need to be full of grace, based on the best thing for my child, not the things I necessarily like, not the things I prefer. And it's not based on the fact that I want to feel respected and I want to feel successful all the time. They're not responsible for my feelings. So I think that would be the tip to leave on, which is kind of see, when you're looking at what influences my parenting, kind of look at those things in general terms, your expectations.
Exactly.
And so then our truth that we're leaving with, Anne-Marie,
what influences your parenting, the answer is our values. Good and bad.
That's true. Good
because
point.
What you value affects your behavior. And so when we value things that are not you know, like there are personal kingdom of me kinds of things, then that's where we're going to, how we're going to parent. And so, so that brings us to this conversation that Jesus has in Matthew 6 about treasures. And in verse 21 in chapter 6, we hear, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Therefore, the reality is what we value drives our behavior. So if we want to be parents that are ambassadors, we have to first make sure we're spending time developing our relationship with him. And then as he's changing us, it'll change how we parent."
So what you're saying is the truth we're leaving with is whatever you value as a parent, as a person and as a parent, will come through in your parenting style.
Yes.
In your discipline. And so what we're saying is probably our values need to be more vertically aligned than they sometimes are. So that is our final kind of truth that we're laying out. And that is the close of our episode 4 for this foundation series. We will be putting out the next episode soon. Depends on when Anne-Marie and I can get these things done, but we're going to try. So anyway, that's it from us. Until next time, we'll talk to you later. Bye.